就是王红，I'm so impressed with the district coordination with the microphone on the phone. Look at it. It's green, you're green. I think green was angry because it's more blue. Have you ever lived at the corner of lost and very lost? Of course you haven't, you're all believers. I'm thinking of there it is. We believers always have the right things to say. We have been trained with a variety of cliches that we think impress people and ourselves. We're blessed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How are you today? We're blessed. Praise the Lord. We know all the cliches to say. When somebody comes up to us with a problem, we say, we just pray about it. If you're really at the corner of life, then there are life. Doesn't that sound a little silly and redundant sometimes? Have you ever been in that spot? I know you're not supposed to be, but most of you have. Most of you have stood on that street corner and you didn't have the answers. I told the church one time, I just don't know how to tell you to do this. And I had someone in your support to know the answers. What I find in my faith as I grow, the more answers I find, the more questions I have. And the more that I discover about God, the bigger God becomes. It seems to me, as we age or as we mature in our faith, and you know the two are optional. I remember a greeting card at one time, one of those things that move on the internet, you send it to people. And I think it said it says that aging is inevitable. And so this old man, as it panned away, he was riding one of those beautiful horses. You all remember those? And he was going back and forth, and it said that maturity was optional. Aging in your faith is inevitable. Maturing in your faith is optional. And the thing we must grasp is that God is unsearchable, unfathomable. Today we're in Luke chapter 15, 1 through 3. I don't know if it's going to solve your feelings of loss and very much on occasion, but hopefully it'll let us know again how to deal with this, and that we're not in this alone. The text will tell us that all the tax collectors and sinners have gathered around Jesus to listen to him. Isn't that puzzling? It wasn't the church of the day that gathered around Jesus to listen to him, was it? And so, if Jesus were out on the corner right now, there would probably be a bunch of sinners and tax collectors and people like that around him, and we'd probably all be in here. That's the narrative of the story. Do the people who call themselves believers get it? Do you believe? The Pharisees and the legal experts, and this is important, the legal experts, they were the Bible scholars. They were the conservatives of the day. They were the ones who knew how to keep the law. Now remember, at this point, we don't have Bibles. Everything that people know comes from the scrolls, taught to the teachers, taught to the experts, and they're the ones telling them to live a good life. And they began to grumble, saying, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." This is a very good thought on the ministry of the table. He and I have been discussing the best one before we get to that. But there was so much of spirituality that was centered around food, around eating, around the fellowship of the believers. For the first 150 years after Jesus, church was often centered around food. This idea was non-existent in the time of Jesus. Worship was often centered around the meal, and gathering, a thing like this. Now, some of us would flip our lids if we started bringing food into the sanctuary, wouldn't we? It's not done. This would never. And the problem is, this is there. But not in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that funny? How easy it is to form a great faith with a set of rules and laws that Jesus would like. And there we go. So I ask you, why are these things so upset with Jesus? What's the that you want. One, yes, Jesus Pilate steals sick. Jesus hangs out with people like you who are unacceptable. The other part of this that he grasps is that many times the tax collectors were Jewish people. Because the government of the day believed that Jewish people were better to get money from Jewish people. Makes sense. So they were often Jewish people. So the idea that he's associating with Jews we don't like, he's associating with members of the family that we don't invite. Anybody have that relative? Maybe you know if they show up, it's not going to be a good Thanksgiving. That's not how to see these people. Look at these people. They are part of the family. But they're not invited to the table. We are familiar with that. So what upsets them? The legal experts would know the priority of the old scriptures to feed the widows, the orphans, the aliens, to make grace sacred. And yet they created these laws to keep not just those away, but to keep some of us away. Well, we know the scriptural arguments there. The followers of Jesus seem to be more complacent, happier, more at peace. It didn't seem to raise a ruckus, and we know for a fact that really bothers you is not a problem. They are easier to come along with. Even the zealots kind of gave up the swords and traveled along with Jesus. Not all of them, but a good many. So why are they upset with Jesus and his people? Can it be that if Jesus becomes more popular, he will become less popular? That if Jesus gives these rules, the others will think it's okay for us to bend them too? To be honest with you, I don't know. He doesn't agree. But I wonder, if I offer you a quote from Love here, and we have a couple of groups who will be studying this, if you'd like to know something about them, John, myself, we'll help plug you in. Maria Goff, her book Love This Here, she's read Bob Goff, this is his wife, Maria. In the book, he refers to her as Sweet Maria. She says, Jesus never seemed to have a problem with people who had lots of questions. He was concerned with the ones that felt they had all the answers. But that's so painful. Jesus seems concerned with the ones who felt they had all the answers. I spent a lot of time at the corner of lost and very lost. If I have all the answers, and I know all the what's next, if I can do spiritual things of my own volition, faith does not need to listen. For faith comes into play when I stand at the corner of lost and very lost, and I don't know where to turn. And I don't know the answer. And I don't know what to do next. That's faith. I believe in life. I believe that God will call you through. I believe that God is bigger than I think God is. I believe that the divine will somehow take us through this. Questions were true. So he tells Jesus' response to the two groups sitting around him. Jesus tells him a story. Once again, the story is a parable. It's a life lesson. It's him saying, listen to this, and if you have spiritual ears, you'll get it, and if you don't, you won't. That's on. It's a life lesson. Suppose someone among you has 100 sheep, but loses one of them. Would you leave the other 99 in pasture and search for that lost one to find it? This is one sheep. It's money. It's economics. If you make your living selling cars and you lose one, it's not simple or ambition. Shepherds lost sheep. And Jesus indicates if you've lost a part of your livelihood, you're going to go find it. You're going to get your stick and go out into the night amongst the wild things, the harmful things, the dangerous things. You're going to get out there amongst it and you're going to find it. The very thought that the Holy God will brought into the darkness to greet us is huge to me. Well, the difficulty for us believers is we don't think we've freed ourselves from the darkness. We have become so right. And one of the only ways we can really be right is to find someone who can be wrong. I need someone worse than me to feel good about me. Could that be the argument of the faith? We need these Jewish folks who are active. We're young or active. We're out to practice. So that we feel better about life. So who are the lost people? I don't think this is question biblically, for Jesus' sake, he said, I come to see the lost sheep, I come to find them, I come to meet them, I come to reach them. The lost sheep of Israel were those who lived outside the walls of faith, who had unclean jobs. They had jobs that kept them from coming to temple, because the ceremonial washing would have to take place, and you don't just come in from the pasture and show up at church. Why? Yeah. It's more like livestock. Have you ever raised livestock, anybody? Isn't that a smell? Yeah, and you're going to bring that in with you. You ever stop at the gas station that's taking all the fried stuff and you come out and you can smell it for another week? To be holy. For there's a ceremony of washing that would be done before meals. Before a celebration, before a feast day, and before temple. The lost sheep were those who believed, who were part of the Jewish family of faith, but lived outside the norm, and lived outside of being acceptable. And Jesus says, when this guy, when this person, when this shepherd finds the lost sheep, he's thrilled. He picks it up and puts it on his shoulders and carries it back. He calls his friends and says, celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep. You think it could be a sheep? That doesn't seem right. But I bet there was wine. I bet there was drinking. I bet there was a party. There was food. Because he had found something that meant something to him. And then you go back to the crowd, the super out of Jesus. But the Pharisees and the experts. No, no, no. And Jesus is saying, I will fix it. I just love it. I told you there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that changes the heart and life than 99 righteous people who don't need to change their lives. Now, one thing he doesn't think they need, he says, who are living right. If there's something in heaven that takes place. When I did this Friday, every now and then someone, I'll use something like this, and they say, there won't be any great thing ever. Really? Did Jesus drink wine? Did he drink wine at celebrations and feasts? Yeah. There you go. There'll be a feast in heaven. There'll be wine. There'll be dancing. I don't know if you come from the denomination that doesn't know how to dancing, music, or wine. But it seems that the Bible says, in our present life and perhaps in our future life, there will be dancing, music, singing, and wine. And in the Psalms, it talks about the stringed instruments, the symbols. Every traditional worship is just symbols in the Bible. Carol, that's your job next week. Because we want to be a biblical church. Here's where the line comes up. But that's the real one be that biblical. Well, that would be annoying, and God would be upset. Yeah. So Jesus tells him another story. They must not have got the first one. But what about a woman? She owns 10 silver coins. That's a lot of money to them. And she loses one of them. But we shouldn't keep the line. We should light the candles and search the house and sweep the house and search for it and find it. And this is crazy. She calls the neighbors and says, I found my coin. Come over for a celebration. So the implication is, if you call your neighbors and you've got wine and food, that doesn't also. Jesus calls the neighbors and says, party, over here. And we can't pull it as a great book. It's about 25 years old now, but it's called The Kingdom of God is a Party. And it centers around the theme of a collection of misfits where the neighbors throw a party. And they find their way into faith. Yes. One of the stories is of an encounter with a tattoo parlor. We walked in, and one of the persons that's getting the tattoos is born to lose. He asked the fellow why, and the tattoo artist says, long before the tattoos on the arms from the heart. So that's another friend, Michael Black, who has a church in a tattoo parlor. What a perfect spot. He said, it just sounds like where Jesus was from. The truth is that his neo-concepts are critical because look where he goes. Look where he sits. And you know when they join this church, you know what you get? Instead of the decoder ring, you get a cross and flame tattooed on your wrist. So it shows out from under your shirt. Perfectly. John likes the idea of burrito church. Michael also has a church in a burrito parlor. I owe you an acid reflex. You're pretty sure Jesus would never go there. That makes you like Jesus. Michael's third worship service, with the majority of the people who come are at the program. The key to what they bring to worship is the statement, I don't have it all. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the annual conference because they can own that they're not always right. Sit with that with us today. So, who has value in this story? There's no question that faith and the legal experts are right. These people are unclean according to the law. There is no question about that. Most of the things that they lost because of Jesus were true. And in many ways, Jesus violated the text. That's troublesome for us. But it places extreme value on the lost and for the lost. It expresses that God will go to no end to find those things. What I like about that is that wherever in my adult life, be Christian life, or believing life, which I find myself in the dark, the promise of God is that God stands next to me, waiting for me to reach out, to call out, to cry out, to pray out. Come and get me, God. It's fascinating to think that an all-knowing and all-powerful and all-sovereign God is. That when it becomes dark in your life and your soul, God has already arrived for you and waits and welcomes you in that moment. So if you know everything that you believe, remember, across these 42 years, my career began with, we need you to have all the answers. In the last decade, I've heard people say more often, we need you to agree with us. We need a pastor who agrees with us. Was the legal expert telling Jesus how important it was for him to agree with him? If you haven't discovered it yet, to this next phrase. You will find yourself on the corner of lost and very lost. And if you fail, and even your Bible verses will fail you. And then, in that moment, all that you have is faith. face of death, which where there is no comfort, there appears to be no hope. So, reading Desert Slogan the other day. And if you're doing some fun, go to a website called despair.in. Some of your professors from the 80s, the little motivational posters and coffee cups, this is the opposite. There's a screen with some birds circling, and the slogan is hope. And below it, watch it at this time. You will find yourself the next time. It'll be a move, it'll be a diagnosis, it'll be the last power to be controlled. It'll be a result of childhood struggles. It'll be your struggles. And the industrial feeling to take care of it. It will happen. And yes, all of the answers the experts offered meant very little to the Finns or the tax collectors who drank to Jesus. He told him less about what to believe and more about how to live. And so, Baldolf, Maria Dolph's husband, and this can come distracted, and I've used this once before with you. There it is. You're a person of faith. At some point, you'll decide whether you want to be right or you want to be Jesus. Make no mistake, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the legal experts, and the leaders of the day were off to the right. And then there's Jesus. But the people were okay, according to the law. And it's a ritual, holy moment of being together. But Pharaoh went up. But the woman of the well, he said, "Give me a drink and I'll drink from your cup." Here, offered grandson drink from my water bottle the other day. He said, "No. How are you going to do that with a stranger?" Now, he did what's been happening in communion. John says, "Let me say, next month we're going to drink from the same cup." I mean, 90% of you aren't. You're going to come, but you're not going to know. Why? Well, we just don't drink. That's my favorite. To be right with the Jesus. They would pray for Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes for most of their days to the very end. A centurion would get it at the foot of the cross where he would say, "Surely this is the Son of God. Could this be the Son of God?" And in the day of Jesus, it appears to be those who live outside the walls who found him fascinating. Those who live inside the walls who struggle with what is done. I have lived at the corner of lost and very lost, and I know the Bible. Sometimes I can read it from my Greek New Testament. With the work, I can read it from the Hebrew Bible. Not easily, but I know the theology and I've studied it well. My undergrad is in Bible, a master's degree is 90 hours long. That's a lot of school. But I don't have all the answers. But that's the day that my faith is at its best. Because if you don't need faith, you're not using it. We are intended to be those who gather around Jesus. We humbly say, "I hope this works." That's faith. It's arrogant faith when we go, "Well, gee, you're getting it off. I don't have the answer. I just struggle with my own darkness and the darkness around me." You ever become aware of your own capacity to do wrong stuff? It means you have to be humble, to sit at the feet of God, to say, "I should die. each of us can grasp the thought and hold that tightly, we will change our part as a world. And we will see everybody as an equal, as someone else who needs strength, as someone else who cares for the corner of loss and victims. I'm not talking about selling that nation. I'm talking about, I don't know what to do next. And the crusades and the verses to quote that we have to do. It comes home. God's been there. I sat with a family who had some time out for time. People came out. People would say, God just picks the prettiest flowers. It must be God's will. For all things work to the glory of God. Really? When you're knee deep in your pain, you know that matters. Why not scream? I know the verse is true. I know the verse is true. But faith lives in the so-called life. God is
true. Do you see any faith in your dream?
Stand with us in those moments of uncertainty and give us grace in those times.
Amen. And as we are singing those songs and we sing their service into the earth this morning, just remember that we are singing those to bless the Lord and to save Him. We are with Him this morning. Did I tell you?
Thank you.
I'm going to go to the next one.